Karen Cotty joins us. And let's start with the aftermath of those storms the other night, Karen, and insurance. What's covered, what's not usually?
Yeah, that's always a question, isn't it? Wind damage is usually covered, hail, lightning damage, power surges that cause problems. All of those things are covered. What's interesting is that flooding from the ground is usually not covered unless you have specific flood insurance. But if there's water that comes from the roof, that the roof maybe breaks and water comes into your house, then it is covered. So it's very complicated. Trees down, generally not covered, but if a tree hits your property and damages your property, it is covered. So when you have a storm, when you have storm damage, it's really, really important to read your policy and have your agent help you understand exactly what's covered.
And as a lawyer, have you ever encountered someone who appealed and won when the insurance company was not going to pay?
Yes, all the time. But the problem is, though, it's usually not cost-effective to hire a lawyer to file those appeals and file those lawsuits. Only when you get into the thousands of dollars is it really worth it. And it's unfortunate when insurance companies don't do the right thing and you know, you don't have much of a remedy.
Yeah, and flood insurance is a whole other problem, isn't it? Most insurance policies, homeowners don't cover that, do they?
No, they don't. And if you're in a floodplain, usually when you're buying a house, you know that, and then you buy the flood insurance. Also earthquake insurance, which sounds bizarre, but there is a fault line that goes through Illinois, and earthquake insurance is a separate accident, a whole separate risk. Mm-hmm. There's mine subsidence, even in the central Illinois, where there is mining around there, where sometimes the earth falls in and you have to get specific insurance for that. So, you know, it's very complicated, and I think it's really important, like I said, to know exactly what's covered when it comes to even just your jewelry and your rugs and things that might have some intrinsic value. Sometimes that's not covered unless you buy a special policy for it.
Mm-hmm. It's swimming pool weather, and during COVID, the sale of swimming pools skyrocketed. And if you have a pool, what should you be aware of? Is it necessary to have a fence? I mean, as far as being liable for anything that might happen in your pool, how does that work?
The first thing you should do when you have a pool is to look at the ordinances in your town to determine what kind of gating you need, what kind of fences you need, certain heights, and the like. And then you go above and beyond that. You make sure you have a fence that's high, that's locked, maybe a cover on your pool that's locked, sensors and alarms. You're going to want to make sure you have life preservers. And it's really, really important because even if people trespass, even if children come there and they're not invited, they climb over the fence and they get into the pool and they are injured or drowned, you could be liable. The law says that a pool is what we call an attractive nuisance, which means it lures people, like children, into the area, especially if you have toys in the water, around the water, and you can be liable even if you took those precautions. So it's really important to take those steps, but also get the right insurance. There's actually pool insurance you can buy, and then there's umbrella insurance that covers you over and above your homeowner's policy.
So even if someone jumps over a gate or a fence, you can still be liable if they are injured or something happens to them in your pool?
Yes, the law says that when you have something that is so attractive to children, like maybe a trampoline would be another example, or a construction site that kids, you know, look and they say, oh, that's cool, let's go over there, you have to take special precautions. Now, it doesn't mean you're automatically liable, but you can still be sued and you're still going to have to defend. And every step that you have taken to prevent that, first of all, you don't want someone drowning in your pool, but you want to make sure that you've taken all the steps to prevent that. Again, high fences so kids can't see it, sensors, and those types of things are all really, really important.
Finally, the primary is coming up June 28th, and one of the things that has always mystified me, you have judges always on the ballot, and it's impossible to know who to vote for. How can you get a guide so that you know what's going on in that department, Karen?
Well, you go to chicagobar.org and you press in like judicial voters guide, and it will have the bar associations go through really rigorous interviews, and they talk to litigants and they talk to other judges, and they determine whether someone's highly qualified, qualified, not qualified. So you can actually print that out. You can take it into your ballot, into the ballot box area, and you make your intelligent decisions. I really highly recommend everybody do that, because Bob, as we've talked about on this show, that you know, you may never come into contact with your congressman. He may never affect your life, but judges will. Yep. You know, you might go to court on a divorce matter or a bankruptcy or an eviction or whatever it is. Very important to have good judges.
Yep, we need that information. What's that web address again, Karen?
You go to chicagobar.org, and then when you're in that site, there's a click that you can click onto Judicial Voters Guide.
Got it. Thank you. More Sunday afternoon on the radio 3 to 5. Have a good day, Karen.
Okay, you too, Bob.